how old some of us may or may not be. I'm curious if perhaps some of you guys were around when these words here were first written. No, actually not those. Can you give me? There we go. If you were there for the first set, you really got it. The Declaration of Independence. I just want to share with you very quickly something from that historic document. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." I would argue that these may be some of the most well-known words, probably the most well-known sentence in the English language today. And I don't think anybody could doubt that these words, as we see them today, these words are endowed with power and consequences that have been far-reaching throughout American history. From their first rendering in 1776 until today, they have shaped and defined our political beliefs, who we are as a nation. But you know, I think many of us would agree that they have also shaped and defined, in many ways, who we are as people. Specifically, I want to draw your attention to this one phrase: all men are created equal. You know, those words were penned, accepted by, and fought for to the death by men who believed with all their hearts that man was created in the image of God. And because he was created in the image of God, every man, every woman has intrinsic value. You are in the image of God. I spoke to you last week about this idea. Men fought and died for that principle because they believe that you have intrinsic value today. For over nearly 200 years, in fact, those words, we shared them with the world around us. The world looked on in wonder at this American experiment. And for 200 years, we shared with them these incredible words that assembled for us just unheard of personal liberty and freedom. Just, it's absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, though, these words have also been used by the enemy. They've been used by the enemy to advance upon our nation an attack on our children, to advance an attack on our church, to attack your own personal faith. In 1973, the Supreme Court decided in Roe versus Wade that our children, our unborn children, they do not have rights, that they were not created with rights. They decided that the comforts and the supposed rights of their parents were more important than the rights of those children. And so, since that decision, we've witnessed the death of 52 million babies in our nation. 52 million children. What's 52 million? What does that mean? It's equivalent, according to the 2010 census, it's equivalent today to the population of Wyoming, Vermont, North Dakota, Alaska, South Dakota, Delaware, Montana, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Maine, Hawaii, Idaho, Nebraska, West Virginia, New Mexico, Nevada, Utah, Kansas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Iowa, Connecticut, Puerto Rico, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Kentucky combined. The words that I showed you were originally meant to bring liberty and freedom to a nation, and they have been used by the enemy to cover our nation with the blood of the unborn children. I got to tell you guys something. Sometimes I drive by on my way to work, and there's a clinic right there, maybe a mile from my store. And there are people out there who are, you know, picketing and protesting. And And I think to myself, what have we done? Where are we at? What have we allowed? There's probably people in this room, I don't doubt it at all, there's people in this room that your life has been on the very forefront, you have been affected directly by this just absolute atrocity. But let me tell you something, for every other person in this room today who has chose just to sit still and be quiet, you also have been affected. And we must repent of this. We must repent. It says that all men are created equal. Those babies are created equal with unalienable rights, endowed by their Creator with the image of God. They have value. Believe it or not, that's not my message today, but if you hear nothing else today, leave here knowing that you're not innocent in this, that you need to make a stand, that if nothing else in your heart, you need to repent for where you have not made a stand, for what you have not said. 52 million. Those words, not only an attack on our children, those words have been twisted around and they've been used to launch an attack on our churches as well. In countries like Canada today, do you know that it is illegal for me to stand in a place like this before a congregation? It is illegal. It is against the law for me to proclaim the unique deity of Jesus Christ. The unique deity above, beyond anybody else. For me to say that my Jesus Christ is the only one. That's against the law. It's against the law right now for me to call the things in the Bible that God hates. It's against the law for me to say that that's sin. I do not believe that as a nation we are very far away from making those same decisions. We're not very far away from allowing our own personal spiritual freedoms to be regulated by the government and called hate laws. Those attacks, I think, are very easily seen. We can turn on the TV and you can see them in a moment. You identify what they are. But I think the attack that the enemy has conducted against our own personal faith, using this idea that all men are created equal, the attack on our personal faith, I think, is much more sinister and well disguised. See, we've been deceived. We've been fooled into believing that because all men are created equal, if in fact all men are created equal, then all ideas, all opinions, and all beliefs of those men must also be equal. It just makes sense. We are told by the media every single day, what are we told? We are told that truth, real truth, it's relative. It's whatever you think it is. If you really believe something, and you really believe it, guess what? That's true. That's what we're told by the media today. And the sad thing is the church, the Christian church even, is not immune to this. It's becoming harder and harder as you look at congregations across this land. It's becoming harder and harder to find pastors or congregations that are willing to believe and to say that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the only way to get to heaven. That's becoming a rarity. People don't want to say that anymore because it kind of stirs the pot up a little bit. We have churches and pastors today that are willingly teaching that it's okay to do those things that the God of this book says that He hates. That happens in our churches today. Truth has become relative in our churches today. All ideas, all opinions, and all beliefs, they must be equal. I don't think so. No, I really don't think so. Not here. Not at Buckhead Ridge Christian Church, right? We firmly believe here at Buckhead Ridge Christian Church that there is no other name under heaven. No other name except for Jesus Christ by which you must be saved. We believe that, right? Let me ask you something then. Why do we lack concern? Why do we lack compassion for over a billion people across this world who have never even heard His name? You and I, we both believe that He is the only name by which you can be saved. But yet, we simply don't care about a billion people who have never even heard his name. We mentally acknowledge the truth of Scripture. I will mentally tell you, I believe in this book. But in my actions, or more specifically in my lack of actions, we are practically conceding. We're saying, well, there must be another way. There must be another way for that billion people. There has to be another way. That's why I'm not motivated to do anything about it. Mentally, yes, you're the only way. In my actions, man, I hope there's another one. I hope there's something else out there for them. Today, I want you to consider with me, I think, a very terrifying mindset that I think is creeping into every church across this land. Okay, a terrifying concept that I believe is being expressed in our neglect for the lost world. And I was going to use this as a title this morning, and somebody told me they weren't 100% sure, and I agree with them. But tell me if this isn't true. We've been talking about for weeks now, he is worth it, right? Jesus Christ, he is worth it for me, but not for you. That's what our actions say. He's worth it for me, but not for you. We don't share Jesus Christ, but we should. We should. If indeed he is the only name under heaven by which men can be saved, we should. You'll need to pick up your pens this morning because I've got a long ways to go and not a whole lot of time to do it. So you need to pick up your pens, your highlighters. I want you to open up your Bibles this morning. We're going to go fairly deep, and like I told you, we're going to go fairly quickly. All right, so a lot of this stuff you're going to need to write down, you're going to need to make note of. And as your week goes along, I want you to reference this again and again and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to share with you about it. The difficult question, as you open up your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1. But the difficult question that we're going to address today is this. And I think I've heard every new believer I've ever come across, I've asked this question myself 100 times. What happens to the people who die, who have never heard about Jesus Christ? What happens to them? I think every person comes to that thought sooner or later. And to be honest with you, for many of us, it has become a stumbling block for our spiritual maturity. Because we don't understand. We're not sure about that. You need to be sure. You need to know the truth about what happens to folks. What happens to that tribesman in the deepest, darkest part of Africa? You know, what happens to that pygmy in the vast Australian outback? What happens to the Native American who was here before the Europeans ever arrived? What happens to the herdsman who works out in the most remote desert in the world and has never heard the name of Jesus Christ? What happens to those people when they die? You know, there are over 1 billion people today just like those folks. Just like them. People who have never heard. What happens? You know, the question is not easy. If it was easy, we'd probably all know the answer, right? It's not easy. And I got to tell you, it was a stumbling block for me for a long time. Okay? It's not an easy question, but let me tell you something. The Bible is not silent about this, as many people would like you to believe. God says clearly what happens. So I want you to open this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And I want you to follow along with me as I share with you 7 truths. Very quickly again, so please make notes. 7 truths that are also outlined in David Platt's book, Radical, about the answer to this question. What happens to people? What happens to individuals who die who have never heard about Jesus Christ? Let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to open up your word. And Lord, I believe that you've placed a full plate in front of us today. Father, I ask that you will now give us the appetite to dig deep into your word. Lord, give us an unquenchable thirst and just an absolute hunger to look deeper and deeper into your word today. Father, I know that I will only brush the surface, but God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will go into the depths of our hearts with it. Make this real and applicable to our lives. Father, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Truth number 1. Truth number one is this. All people, they have a knowledge of God. He said, well, wait, Tim, you just told me there was a billion people out there who have never heard about Jesus. You know, you're talking out both sides. What's going on here? All people have a knowledge of God. Romans 1, start with me in verse 18. Says this, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. That lady today, that mother today who lives deep in the Amazon jungle, and she doesn't know anything about Jesus Christ, guess what? She's seen God. God has revealed himself in his invisible qualities. He has shown her in his eternal power and in his divine nature through this creation. God has revealed himself to all men, to all people. God has clearly made himself known. Again, I'm going to move fast. I hope you're taking notes. Truth number two this morning. All people, every single one of us, reject God. We all reject God. Continuing in verse 21 there, right where we left off. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Somebody might be saying, Tim, I just got it. I understand what you're saying. Those foolish people, they exchange the glory of God for idols, for statues and for images, for birds and animals and reptiles. Man, they're so foolish. Man, those guys are so foolish. What are they thinking? Yeah, they are foolish. But if that verse was written today, it might read something like this. They exchange the glory of the immortal God for TVs, for sports teams, for NASCAR, for boats, for beautiful homes, and for fine clothing. What fools we are. What fools we are. The truth is not that some people rejected God. The truth is not that those people rejected God. The truth is that all people rejected God. Every single one. From Romans 1:18, and you need to write this down, through Romans 2:16, Paul makes the case very clearly that all Gentiles are guilty before God. He lays it out beautifully that every Gentile in this world has rejected God. And then from verse 17 of chapter 2 until verse 18 of chapter 3, Paul makes the case that all Jews are guilty before God, have rejected God. Well, let me tell you something. In Bible language, if you have all Gentiles and you have all Jews, guess what you have? You got everybody. What also you have is truth number 3. That is this. All people are guilty before God. Every single one are guilty before God. God's word makes it abundantly clear that without Christ, hell, not heaven, is our destination. Without Jesus Christ, it is, you know, your default is not heaven. Okay? That's the default setting that we want to believe, that when our computer gets, you know, reset, oh, we're going to heaven. No, no. The default of all humanity is hell. Without Jesus Christ. Why? It's not because God is cruel and unjust, as some people would like to say.
It's because God is holy. It's because He is holy and righteous. Truth number four. All people are condemned for rejecting God. Romans 3:20. Let's pick back up in our passage here. Or actually, you're going to need to go over a little bit. Romans 3:20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Just kind of put your finger on that point right there. We'll come back to it in a moment. Okay, no one will be declared righteous before God by their works of the law. You know, there's probably somebody here right now. I hope you're here right now. And you're saying, Tim, I know you started this conversation talking about the billion people who are lost and have never heard Jesus Christ. But as you're talking more and more about every single person, I got to be honest, I'm starting to be more and more worried about the one person sitting in this chair. Maybe you do need to be worried about that this morning. Maybe that's where you need to be concerned about this morning, is about not about the billion. Maybe you need to start with the one sitting in your chair right now. Maybe today you do need to be a little bit worried. Friend, let me tell you something. You came in here this morning for the good news, I hope. All right? I haven't given you much of it yet, have I? But let me tell you something. The good news really isn't that good unless first you know what the bad news is. Okay? The bad news is simple. Every single person has fallen short of the glory of God. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law, and all people are without excuse. That's pretty bad news. No, actually, that's really, really bad news, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. Do you want some good news today? Do you? Do you need some good news today? I got like three people who need good news today. Okay. All right. You're right. You do need good news. But I'm going to give it to you today. I'm going to share with you the good news today. But I'm going to do it with a question as well. After I share with you the good news today, what are you going to do with it when you leave here? You just going to keep it? Keep it to yourself? Tuck it away for a rainy day? Or are you going to take it out with you and share it to the next person? Let me tell you something. That billion people, they don't all live over in Africa. You know, there's a billion people who have never heard. There's 4.5 billion people who are lost, at least. Okay? They don't all live over in Africa. They don't all live in Asia. Guess what? There's a couple thousand that live in Buckhead Ridge. You know, there's tens of 15 and 20,000 that live in Okeechobee. What are you going to do with it? I mean, what, you know, this is like an investment. If I give you the good news, what are you going to do with it? Don't just keep it for yourself. Take it with you. Take it and proclaim it outside of these walls. Before I get to truth number five, let's return to our original question. What happens to those people who die without ever hearing about Jesus Christ? Okay, now remember truth number four, all right, because this is fundamental. All people are condemned for rejecting a holy God. People are not condemned because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They were condemned because they rejected God. So Tim, what you're telling me then, and this is, guys, again, this is tough. What you're telling me then is that that little old man, that little innocent man who lives way up in the Himalayan mountains in the middle of nowhere, that little innocent little old man, okay, who doesn't even have a Bible translated into his own language, that little old man, you're telling me he's going to spend an eternity in hell? No, I'm not telling you that. Okay, in fact, if you show me one innocent little old man, then I'll show you somebody who doesn't need the cross of Christ. I'll show you somebody. But you know what? There isn't anybody. No one is innocent. All have rejected, and we all have been condemned because we've rejected God. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We are all guilty. No one's innocent. Truth number five now. Boy, I tell you what, I've just been throwing big punches today, right? The bad news. I just beat you guys up. Truth number five. This is the good news. God has made a way of salvation for the lost. God has made a way.
Look down at your finger now. I told you to hold your place on chapter 3, verse 20. Now read with me, if you will, in verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. The good news. The good news is what? That God has granted righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. The good news is that He has done this for every single person who believes, whether you are Greek or Jew, whether you are Gentile or Jew, whether you are wise or foolish. He's given you the same opportunity. The good news is that you have been justified freely, not by the works that you could ever possibly do, but that you have been justified by His grace that you received through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's not good news. That's great news. Okay? When you understand the bad news, that is really, really awesome news. But you need to be careful. I told you, what are you going to do with it? I asked you. You promised me you're going to go outside these doors and share it. Okay, well, I kind of put that in your mouths here, but you're going to do that. All right? You're going to go outside and share it, but you need to be careful. Because you know what? When you start sharing it, people are they're going to respond. Some of them are going to call you closed or narrow-minded. They're going to say that you're arrogant and ridiculous for believing that only your Jesus could be the way to heaven. Only one way. But let me remind you of something. God didn't just make a way. God made the way. The only way. That's it. One way. One way. That good news about Jesus Christ, it leads us to truth number 6. And that's this, that people cannot come to God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Can't do it. Might want them to, but they can't. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through Buddha, not through Muhammad, not through anything else. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Now this is the place where, as we're answering that question today, we got to be careful. Because my heart desperately wants to override my faith right now. My heart so desperately wants there to be another way for over a billion people who have never heard the name Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. If I believe today that there was another way, then what that means is that I also have to believe that one day I'll be standing in heaven and somebody will walk up to Jesus and say, hey, I appreciate what you did on the cross, but I didn't really need it. That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Therefore, I cannot believe, as much as my heart wants me to, I cannot believe that there is any other way for men or women to be saved. God did not make just a way. God made the way. So truth number 7. Now here it is. This is the point that I hope you take home as much as anything else. Truth number 7, okay, is that we see in that truth that God has made provision for those who do not have the Word of God. Okay? He has made provision for those who have never heard the name Jesus Christ. Truth number 7, Christ commands the church to make the gospel known to all nations. You know, as I share with you in just a moment from Romans chapter 10, you're going to need to flip over a little bit, verses 13 through 15. As I share that with you, Okay? What I want you to do is take your pen, and right next to that verse, I want you to write Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. This is part of your homework for this week, okay? I'm not going to tell you a whole lot about it. Trust me, you'll get it when you see it, okay? Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. But right now, go to Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. It says this, everyone, y'all like that word, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one in whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? It's a bunch of like working backwards. Okay, it gets kind of confusing. What's God's plan for making the gospel known to the nations? I'm going to give you the easy way to understand it, okay? The easy way is just to flip it around. Let's work it from the back end to the front end here. Okay, God's plan. One, God sends believers. Two, believers preach to the lost. Three, the lost hear. Four, the lost believe. Five, those who believe will call. And six, those who call will be saved. Pretty easy. Pretty simple, right? What's the problem? You know, why do we have a billion people who haven't heard? Why do we have 4 billion people who are lost? It seems pretty clear. What's the problem? Well, the word is very clear. Those who call are saved. Check mark. Those who believe will, those who believe will call. Number four, the lost will believe. All right, now some people might say, whoa, I've shared the gospel before with people. They didn't believe. All right, Tim, I think your plan has a hole in it here. Okay, well, and here's your other part of your homework for this week. Okay, your other piece of homework is I want you to go to Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. I'm not going to share it with you today, but what you're going to see there, okay, is a picture that God draws at the very end of time where you see people from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation gathered around the throne of God. Okay? The lost, when they hear, they will believe. All right? Not necessarily every single one, but you will see from every tribe, every people, every nation gathered around the throne of God. So, those who hear will believe. And today, God is still sending believers. Check mark, please. Okay. Today, God is still sending believers. Okay, so where's the problem? The problem's in step number two. Believers preach to the lost. You are sent. God has called each of you to go, to preach to the lost. I'm not just talking about in Africa, I'm talking about at Walmart. Okay, I'm not just talking about in Asia, I'm talking about down at Five Guys. You are called to go. You are called to preach. The plan is perfect. Step number two is our problem. Okay, step number two is where we run into difficulties. God's plan to reach the lost is to use the church, is to use you, is to use me, to spread the gospel to every nation. That's His plan. Okay? Now, before I give you too much time to think about it, let me just clarify, there is no plan B. There's no other option. That's God's plan. God has said He's going to use the church to accomplish this. There is no plan B. You know, but what do? We hold out. We're holding out because we're really hopeful that maybe we'll come across another way. That maybe God will figure out a different kind of plan. But there is no other plan. There's no other option. There's no plan B. Now, I've shared this truth with you today, 7 truths, and I know it's a lot more than I really thought of I was going to share with you guys today. I desperately want you to spend this week considering these 7 truths. Okay, do your homework this week. Be in the Word of God. Go back over the scriptures that we've already spoken about. Okay? But I've done this really for a purpose. Because as a church and as believers,
we need to stop wasting our time debating about what God will do with those who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. We got to stop wasting time in that particular area, and instead we need to focus on the task at hand. We need to be committed to answering the question, how am I going to reach the lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How am I going to do it? Spend your time on that and not debating the previous. I want to conclude this morning with a quote from this book I've been reading. And it talks about the urgency that's needed in our response. David Platt writes, "Will we risk everything? Our comfort, our possessions, our safety, our security? Will we risk our very lives to make the gospel known among unreached peoples?" It's a yes or no question. Are you willing? Will you stand with me today? I've got one yes. Friends, family, how in your life today are you showing that Jesus Christ is worth it? Does anybody even know that you really believe that he's worth it today? How in your actions are you taking the gospel to the lost world? Are you responding at all? It's in your own heart. I can't speak for you, but I hope that you answer those questions. Will you bow your heads? Close your eyes. I want to tell you something. Maybe today you need to begin, like we discussed, by answering that first and most important question. That's this. Have you even decided? Have you even made that choice that he is worth it? Have you realized today that you are a sinner and that apart from Jesus Christ, you have no hope? Have you asked him today? Do you know for sure that you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, to come and live in your heart, and to transform your life into a new creation? That's the first question we must answer. If not, I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. And hopefully, in that time, you'll make that choice. Pray with me, though. Father, I know that I have broken your laws today. Lord, I know that today I stand guilty and condemned, and I am without excuse. God, I am sorry. God, I seek your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, beginning today, right now, I want to turn over my past sinful life. I place him in your hands, Lord, and instead I want to turn towards you. I believe, God, that your Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, I believe that he died for my sins. And I believe that he was resurrected from the dead. I believe that today he is alive and he hears my prayers. I invite you, Jesus, to become the Lord of my life, to rule and to reign in my heart from this day forward. Father, please send your Holy Spirit to help me, to teach me to obey your word, and to empower me to do your will for the rest of my life. We pray these things in the name of your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the strong and mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, the only name by which these things are even possible, Jesus Christ. We pray these things. Amen. You remain